This morning, we're going to jump right back in to our sermon series of Hot Topics. And this is where we apply biblical perspective onto today's political issues. Now, if you weren't here 2 weeks ago, I would highly suggest that you go onto our website, engagechurch.life, and go to sermons and go down and listen to the first sermon in the series. This is not a series where I stand here and tell you who to vote for. That is not my job. You know what my job is? To give us biblical perspective for political issues. And so that's what we're going to continue to do today. And in fact, before we start, I would just like to pray over this sermon, pray over you, and that our hearts and our minds would be open to God's word this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, first and foremost, I just ask, Lord, that you would just go out and you would anoint these words today. Lord, that this is from you. Lord, these are your words. These are biblical. This is not preference. This is not opinion. Lord, this is biblical. And so, Father, I just pray, Lord, that we all have our ears open. We have our minds free and clear to hear from you. And, Lord, that our hearts are ready to receive from you this morning. Lord, would you go forth and would you bless these words that we're about to receive? In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to start by saying every heartbeat tells a story. A story written by the hands of God before the world even knows that that heartbeat exists. But in a world where life is often treated as a choice, we must ask ourselves, what does God say about this life He has so carefully created in the womb? Today, we dive into another hot topic. And our first message in the series was the importance of the Christian vote. And the importance in the Christian vote is to be informed and to vote for policies and candidates that would move our country towards righteousness. If you were here for that message, you heard me say that on repeat, that we want to move our country towards righteousness. And as I said, quoted in the first sermon, and I'll quote it again here just to bring that reminder, John Stone Street writes, "Instead of not voting or simply casting your ballot for the lesser of two evils, vote to lessen evil. Vote to lessen evil. Vote to move our country towards righteousness." And over the next few weeks, we're going to continue in this hot topic series, and we're going to apply biblical perspective to each of these political issues that we find ourselves facing as a country today. And I'd also like to start by saying, I know that this may be a deeply personal and painful topic for some, that this may be something that you have firsthand walked or walked through with somebody that you love. And my prayer for today has been that we can look at this hot topic of abortion not with a negative, like not with anger towards people, but that we would be able to look at it with both truth and grace, understanding at the same time that God's love and forgiveness is for all of us. Not just for me because I didn't do this, but rather God's love and grace is for all. Okay? So if you have your Bible with you today, and I hope you do. If not, you can look on with screen. In fact, here, we're going to do something different today. Can we do something different? Come on. Yeah, we're going to read it together, okay? It's going to be on the screen. So if you would, let's stand to our feet this morning. We're going to get ready to read. We're going to get the blood pumping through our veins because we want to hear from the Word of God this morning. We have a primary scripture, and then we have some secondary. Our primary is going to be Psalms 139, if you need to write this down. To look at later, Psalms 139, 13 through 16. And before we read this, let me just set the foundation. And here is the foundation. We believe that life is sacred. We believe that life is sacred and that God's design for human life begins before birth. And Christians are called to protect life at all stages. Okay? Let's read. Psalms 139, 13 through 16. Can you see it? I made it bold this morning. Please tell me you can see it. Okay. "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. You may be seated this morning. The context in this verse is that it highlights God's intimate role in the creation of human life. He knew your days before you were created. He knows the number. He knows the plan that he has for you. He knows everything there is to know about you. Before you were even created. Okay? Before you were born. So it emphasizes that God's work begins in the womb, crafting and knowing each person even before birth. And this passage teaches us that life is precious because God is closely involved in creating each person. He doesn't create some and not others. He creates all of us. It is by His grace that we are all here today. He creates us. He forms each of us with purpose and care in our mother's wombs. It emphasizes that every human being, starting from conception, listen, is uniquely made. Johnny, are you different than I am?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Graham, are you different than me? Judy. Everybody, that's Judy. I call her Graham, so when I say Graham, just know I'm talking about Judy. Judy, are you different than I am? Thank goodness. Yep. Jade, what about you? Are you different? Are you different than me? Are you different than your mom? Yep. Why? Because we are uniquely made. We are uniquely made by God. And if we are uniquely made, that means that we carry inherent dignity and value in the eyes of God. So as Christians, we are called to honor this divine work, the work of God creating us in the womb, by acknowledging the sanctity of life at all stages. And that means that we advocate for the protection of the unborn. It also encourages us to see life as a precious gift through God's eyes, something to be nurtured and something worthy of being defended. Therefore, when it comes to abortion, this verse shows us that the sanctity and the value of life starts at the earliest stages. From a biblical perspective, okay, from a biblical perspective, life begins at conception. Life begins at conception, and it reinforces that life in the womb is precious and should be protected. So let's look at one of our secondary verses, and it's Jeremiah. You can write this down because I'm not going to give you time to turn your Bible there, but it's going to be on the overhead. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. It says this. This is God speaking to Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. See, God spoke to Jeremiah, telling him that he knew him even before that he was born, and that God had a specific purpose for Jeremiah's life. Do you know that God has a specific purpose for your life this morning? He knew that before you were born. Are you with me this morning? Come on. This shows that God knows each person before they're born, and it shows that He has a plan for every part of their life. And it also shows us this. Life is not random. We are not randomly born. We are not randomly created, but rather we are intentional. Each one of us are intentional. We were made intentionally by the hands of God the Father. So if we're intentional and we were made for a purpose, and we were made with a purpose, and it was given to us by God before birth. So as Christians, we are called to recognize the importance of every single life, including the life of the unborn, and to oppose anything that would disrupt God's plan. It reminds us that each person is created with a unique role and value in God's kingdom. And if we understand this unique role and value for God's kingdom, it should lead us to protect and cherish life from the moment of conception. I was doing some stats digging this week. Did you know, you ready for this? 60% of the Christian population believes that abortion should be acceptable. Now, I'm not going to suggest that anybody in here believes it's acceptable, but if we go off of that, 60%, that's an alarming number. That's an alarming number. And the fact that it is so quiet in here this morning, one, you're either sleeping, or two, this is a very uncomfortable sermon to hear. Or three, it's just very challenging, and it's a very solemn sermon because we're talking about the life of the unborn and the protection of it. So if we were to apply Jeremiah 1:5 to the topic of abortion, it should highlight to us that the idea of life is not an accident. You weren't accidentally created. You weren't an accident. You instead, you have great meaning. You have purpose. You have value. And Christians should believe, we ought to believe, that abortion interrupts God's plan for a life that He intended to bring into the world for a purpose. That it interrupts His plan for that person. And if we believe that, we believe that the unborn life holds intrinsic value. Finally, let's look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. It's just four words. You ready? You shall not murder. You shall not murder. See, this is one of the Ten Commandments, and it emphasizes the sanctity of human life and the prohibition against taking innocent life. It highlights the value that God places on life, and it should serve for us as a moral boundary against unjust killing. For Christians, guess what? This applies to the unborn as well. Calling us to see abortion as a violation of God's command to protect life. And I hope and pray that none of us are on that side of the fence, but if it is, I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and is changing your opinion on this. It also should challenge us to defend the vulnerable and to uphold the sacredness of life. If we believe that life is sacred, if we believe that life is not an accident, if we believe that we have inherent value and dignity in the kingdom of God, then we should uphold the protection of that unborn life. Here's why. If we do, we affirm that all human beings, who's human in here? Come on, right? Let's make sure you're awake, everybody in here. We're all human. So if we believe that the sacredness of life should be, we affirm that all human beings, both the born and the unborn, are made in the image of God and deserve protection. So this means that every unborn child, in all cases or scenarios, is made in the image of God and deserves protection. Period. That goes against the grain of political, doesn't it? Any case and every situation, that life was created by the hands of God Himself. That life should not suffer for lack of decision on your part or ability, but rather God has created them and they deserve our protection. So, I hope and I pray we've set the biblical groundwork. We've set the biblical perspective on the issue of abortion, because we know that is, seems to be forever on the ballot every time we are called to vote. We should have a biblically grounded understanding of God's position on abortion. We should also value and defend life from conception. We understand why we should do that this morning. So now that we have the biblical understanding, now let's look at it as what our response as individuals, as free-thinking people, each of us, what our response as believers should be. The first is this. It is our first response is to believe that life is sacred. If we can't start there, we don't have a foundation to work from. If we don't believe that life is sacred, you do not have a biblical foundation to work upon. Okay? So Psalms 139, it shows us how God is closely involved in creating every person. We read that, we know that, even before they are born. It says that God carefully puts each person together in the womb, showing that each life is made with a purpose and is very special. This means that life is simply not an accident. I've already said that. Life is not an accident. It is not just a biological process that takes place, but it is something that God has intentionally created. Since every person is made with a purpose and is known by God, it is important to value and to protect all life, no matter what stage it is at. This is a core part of the Christian belief. As Christians, we believe that human life is valuable because it is made in the image of God. Because God created this life, we understand its value. And it also includes the life of the unborn, who commonly get thrown off as no rights, no life, no nothing. We name it 13 different things because we don't want to admit that it is a human being that God is creating in the womb. Because of this, we need to defend that life from the start, knowing that God has a plan for every person, no matter how small or how early they are in their life. Do you have a purpose this morning? That child in the womb also has a purpose this morning. Here's the second thing for our response, how we can, as individual believers, how we can respond. You ready? Speak for the voiceless. Speak up for the voiceless. Proverbs 31:8, you can write that down. Proverbs 31:8, it tells us to speak up for those who can't speak for themselves and defend the rights of those in need. Do you know that this also covers the unborn children who don't have a voice, who are very vulnerable. They can't protect their right to life. They need somebody to speak up for them. And I would submit to you this morning that as Christians, we are called to stand up for those who can't stand up for themselves. Would you also know that this applies to just life? We need to stand up. We need to speak up for those that need spoken up for, that need help. We stand up for those who can't stand up for yourselves, including unborn children, at the risk of being aborted, at the risk of being no longer alive. As followers of Christ, we need to support justice, and we need to protect the most vulnerable in our community. This means speaking out against abortion. It means supporting policies that value life and helping pregnant women with love, resources, and options that reflect God's care for both mother and child. Does that mean I'm standing up here telling you which candidate to vote for? Absolutely not. But if you go back and listen to the first sermon, you are to be informed and you should vote. These are two things that is our responsibility as Christians, and we want to vote to move our nation towards righteousness. So we need to value life. We help those who are pregnant with love, resource, and options that would reflect God's care for both mother and child. Our third is this: show compassion. Show compassion. Jesus, if we look at John chapter 1, verse 14, Jesus was full of grace and truth. And it's important to speak the truth about the value of life, just as important to show kindness and understanding and grace to those who have had an abortion. Because does not God's love and grace extend to them as well? Are you awake this morning? So Romans 8:1, it also says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Which means this: that God forgives, heals, and restores. And so many people feel guilt, they feel shame, or they have pain after having an abortion. And I think that is just a natural response to the choice of our decisions. But God's grace extends to that. Do you understand this morning how depraved we are as a people? And that if God's grace can extend over us, we sang a song about God's grace this morning and how it's enough for the whole world. If it's enough for the whole world, why can't it be enough for this? So as Christians, we are called to show Christ's love and help, to help people who need to see Christ's love and to see His kindness throughout that help instead of experiencing judgment, instead of experience condemnation. So we should offer support, things like counseling, prayer, maybe just a community for that person to be involved in, so people can feel the forgiveness and new life that Jesus offers. The church should be a place of kindness where people who have had an abortion can find hope and healing. Do we want to be that church? Do we want people to have hope? Do we want people to experience healing? So today, we have reinforced, or maybe even we have been taught, the importance of valuing and defending life. valuing and defending what God has created. Very much stated in God's Word, for every person, starting from when they are first conceived, is made by God with care and with purpose. The Bible teaches us this morning to not only cherish life, but also to protect those who cannot speak for themselves. We are called to support life even when it's not convenient. We are called to support life even when it's not convenient. This belief should guide our actions, not just our thoughts, not just our cares, but as Christians, it's important that we live out these values and our interactions with the world, including in politics, where the decisions made politically directly affect how our life is respected and safeguarded. And if we need to be a voice for the voiceless, we need to speak up when it matters. So there are two ways to respond. We're called to respond in two ways this morning, in two main ways. It's to support the rights of the unborn. That's the first. Support the rights of the unborn. Speak up for life and discussions through your voting and by helping those in need. Is that something that is, we're capable of doing that, are we not? The second is this, show kindness and understanding. We should also remember that many people carry the burden of past decisions. Does anybody have a past they regret? I do. God offers grace to everyone. Abundantly, He offers His grace. And as the church, our role is to not pass judgment, but to offer healing and hope so they can receive the grace of God. As we navigate the world of political discussions, if you work in the workplace, I'm sure political discussions come up. As we navigate the world of political discussions, it's important for us to align our actions with God's Word. You've heard me say this before. It's a quote, and I don't remember who the quote's come. It comes on my Facebook once a year in the memories, and I share it the morning that I always see it in my memories. I don't remember who said it, but you've heard me say it. If our opinion does not line up with the Bible, what should we do? It's not close your Bible and quit reading it? That's the wrong answer, isn't it? The right answer is to change your opinion, because guess what? Your opinion is wrong. And that's just the way it is. And it's okay that we are challenged when we're reading our Bibles and we're gaining understanding. But as Christians, if we are going to put our name as the face of Jesus Christ to others, ought we to be the face of Christ in the same beliefs that we see here in Scripture? So when we vote, when we advocate, and we engage in those political conversations, we need to consider whether or not our position is supporting the sanctity of life and standing for justice and mercy as Christ commands us to. It should be our faith that guides us how to approach these issues, not just as citizens, not just as people who are able to vote and go to the ballot box and vote for A, B, C, Z, whatever, but rather our faith should guide how we approach these issues as ambassadors of God's kingdom. As ambassadors of Christ, are we guided by this? So this week, I would encourage you to reflect on how you can stand for life, both in your personal actions and also as a citizen. If we apply these biblical principles to political issues today, we need to remember that our goal is not only to be informed, but to also transform the world around us. We want to move our nation towards what? Righteousness. We want to move our nation towards righteousness. And if we move our nation towards righteousness, we will transform the world with the truth and the love of Christ Jesus. This is what engaging our community looks like. Would you stand with me this morning? Would you just close your eyes for a moment? I know that this is a hard sermon to go through. This is it's a challenge. It was a challenge to write. I'm sure it was challenging to hear. And maybe you just don't know how to respond yet. I would just like to encourage you as we continue on in service. Stacy, if you want to make your way up here. We've talked today about the sanctity of life. And we need to remember that each one of us is created, not just created. We're not just created and moved on, but we are created by God, but we are also deeply loved by God. So what you need to hear this morning, not only did God create you and then you were born and here you are today and life is really tough and things are hard and I don't know and this and that. Listen, you need to understand this morning that you are deeply loved by God Himself. Just as God formed us in the womb, He also sent His Son Jesus to redeem us through His death and resurrection. Listen, no matter your past, no matter what you have done, no matter the choices that you have made, God's grace is available to forgive and to restore. This morning, Jesus offers healing, freedom, and new life to all who come to Him in faith. So this morning, every head bowed, eyes closed, if you have never accepted that gift of salvation, if you've never come to Jesus and said, Jesus, I need You in my life, and you would like to receive that salvation this morning, you would like to experience that love and the forgiveness that only Jesus Christ Himself can give, would you raise your hand this morning? Church, as we enter into this time of response, see, we end with an altar call every Sunday. Why? Because it's our chance to respond to the message that we've just heard. It's our opportunity to digest, if you will, what we have just listened to, what we have just heard, maybe what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do or nudging us. So as we enter this time of response, I want us to take a moment to reflect on today's message. If you have been personally affected by abortion, whether through your own experience or someone close to you has, know this. Know that God's grace and healing are here for you. He offers forgiveness, He offers restoration, and He offers peace. And if that relates to you this morning, I would just invite you to come forward and lay your heart before Him as we close. For the rest of us, this is a call to stand for life. This is our charge to stand for life. Could we pray this morning for courage to be voices for the unborn? Could we pray for courage to speak up for those who have no voice? Could we pray together as a church to see an end to abortion in our nation? Could we possibly take that time this morning and just pray in unity and belief that abortion would be rooted out and discarded and never again in our nation? Whether you need healing this morning, whether you want to stand for life, or you have a desire to pray for change in our world, the altar is open. Come and let's seek and let's pray and let God do what He does best. Can we, as a church this morning, seek God together?